All right. This is the Real Church Series, part three. A real church has vision. Vision. You know, what did you want to be growing up? You had vision. You know, you would dream about being something. I liked meteorology and geology. And I studied into that. And I also liked racing. So I read every book in my junior high school library on the subject of racing. Didn't make any difference whether it was horses or cars or people. Anything that had to do with racing, I read it. And then weather and clouds and stuff like that, and then rocks, and you know, I saw myself either being a weatherman or maybe being a geologist and discovering a big oil field back then, you know. But you see, that's what you call vision. You're seeing something that isn't there yet, but that is a possibility. And I want you to know that God has vision for your future and for our future as a church. Now, I want to just take the first clause in Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. I'm going to read it from several different versions. I'm going to read the Old King James, the New King James, the New Living Translation, Contemporary English, and the English Standard. All right, so some of you that have those, all of those on your device, you can go read those. All right, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, people perish. That's the Old King James. The New King James says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. The New Living Translation says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Then Contemporary English Version says, without guidance from God, law and order disappear. I think we see some of that. English Standard says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Now, in these, as we read here, we could see that there is a need for vision or revelation from God for yourself and for the church. God wants to be involved in our future. If he's not involved in our future, then all restraint is cast off. And when there's no vision, people just go wild. I mean, everybody's doing their own thing and nobody is together. And there's nothing but chaos. I think we found that in our world today that we're living in. There's no structure. There's no vision. You know, every person in the Word of God that you would consider one of the great people of the Bible, all of them had had vision from God, and then they made it happen. See, vision without making it come to pass is no good. All right? Moses became the deliverer of Israel. Abraham left his home because he had a vision of looking for a city. Noah built an ark. David became a king. A shepherd boy became a king. Mary gave birth to Jesus. The disciples became fishers of men. Some of them were fishermen to start with. Some of them were tax collectors. Hello. Other things. Paul became a missionary for Christ. You know, throughout history, people have gotten vision of what is possible and have accomplished it. Whatever you see yourself, how you see yourself, is what you will eventually do. They tell you all the time, dream dreams. Well, that's vision. Hello? You know, the old saying is, don't cross the bridge until you get to it. But really, I like what John Mason says in his book, You Were Born Original, Don't Die a Copy. This is a statement. We are told never to cross a bridge until we get to it. But the world is owned by men, our people, would be, he means mankind, everybody, who have crossed bridges in their imagination or their vision far ahead of anybody else. In other words here, a vision is something that you see that could become a possibility before anybody ever sees it in the natural. You know, if we're going to accomplish for God what God wants in your personal life and in this church, we have got to see the vision and make it happen. Now, the value of vision is being able to see it before it's ever a reality in the natural. I have vision for this building. They started the dirt work of this, doing this building. How many of you were around when they started digging down and they've had a pile of dirt out here they call Hagen's Mountain because we had to take 3 feet of topsoil off and rebuild because of this soil is so bad. I would bring my staff out here and they had dug all of this and it was all slanted and they were putting the forms in to pour the slab. And I would stand right here. Of course, we've added that now. And I'd stand right here and I'd say, okay, guys, this is the platform. And there's the people and there's the balcony. I have vision. They would stand here. I made them come out here in the cold and the rain and everything else. I brought them out here every week. I brought them out here. I would tell them, this is this. And they would stand here and say, yeah, okay, Pastor, you know. But they couldn't see it. I could. Because I worked with them, Lynette helped me, and we worked with those plans for over a year, developing it. It became that's what a vision is. And then, that's what you have to have in your personal life. That's what we have to have as a church. And then we make it become a reality. This building was a vision in my mind before it ever became a reality. Now, Ross McCready. He worked for us. He was a what do you call those people? Architect. And I began to talk to him and tell him what I saw. Now, my vision had to become his vision, and then he translated it to a piece of paper. Anybody following me? Now, that comes down, and there it is on a piece of paper. And that's what the building looks like. This is all the plans and so on. Now, somebody has to take those plans and make that vision, build it. Make it become a reality. But you see, a long time before there was ever a pew here, a long time before there was ever a load of dirt taken out of here, this building was a vision. See, many times before anything ever happens, God gives you a vision of it. Or in the natural, you see yourself doing it. Then you make it happen. Many of you sitting here have accomplished your vision. And many of you starting out on another vision. The colonel over here, he envisioned himself flying fighter planes. And he went and did it. Then he retired. Now he's on another vision. Doing something else. How many of you have been able to accomplish the vision that you saw? It was here before you ever did it. Now it became a reality. How many of you now are on to something else? But it all became a vision first. As a church, the real church has vision. What is vision? Someone has said, vision is the art of seeing things that are unseen. You know, some people are just trying to survive. Therefore, they don't see anything for the future. They have no vision. They have no vision whatsoever. Have you ever been around people who had no vision whatsoever? And it's just same old thing every day. They're not happy. People that have vision, they're happy because they're going somewhere to make something happen. Hello. See, some people can't see the possibilities that the future holds for them. They're oblivious to the opportunities that come their way because they have no vision. They're operating in life like a boat that has no anchor. They just drift with the circumstances of life, whichever way it takes them, you know. Y'all ever seen people like that? No vision whatsoever. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Don't make no difference what I do. Well, that's not so. Anybody ever heard of a fellow by the name of George Barna? Anybody? The Barna Reports? He says, vision is a picture held in your mind's eye of things that could or should be in the days ahead. Do you see something you want to become? Do you have the possibilities for the vision for your life? As we sit here as a church, do we see the vision of this church and what we are to accomplish? Now, vision helps everyone to be able to see the same thing. Are in our vernacular that we talk today, be on the same page. How many understand that one? See, it helps us, vision enables or helps or gives everyone the idea and the opportunity to see everything the same way. Now look at 1 Corinthians 1:10. 1 Corinthians 1:10. New King James. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Have you noticed that I'm slowing down and letting y'all find it? Because I've already got it written down. You know, I just cut and paste it and it's already here. But you guys have to find it. Some of you finding it on your devices. Some of you finding it in your regular Bible. I got them all here and here. All right. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now listen to this. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul wanted the Corinthian church to get on the same page or have the same vision, have the same mindset. See, the Corinthian church, the problem with the Corinthian church is that it had many cliques and divisions, and therefore there was conflict. They were not seeing the same way. They were not. They didn't have the same vision. They didn't think the same way. They weren't saying the same thing. Therefore, they had division. In every organization, church, business, life, your life, there must be vision that guides so that everyone is together. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I served in the military. And when you are out as a squad, I was a squad leader, and you're on hill assault, I'm going to tell you what, everybody has to have the same vision to take that hill, and everybody's got to be on the same page or somebody's going to get killed. How many, is that right, you military people? Is that correct? They got to be on the same page. When the colonel's up there and he's leading a flight of jet fighters and they're flying in formation, everybody going to be on the same page or are they going to crash? Because somebody's going to get off course. Hello. See, vision brings unity and gives focus so that everybody knows what's going on. Do you realize that when we all begin to get the same focus, get the same vision, our efforts are greatly multiplied? Do you know that most churches that are destroyed from within and not from without? Because somebody has failed to provide proper vision, which ensures proper focus and everybody in no conflicts. Conflicts come because the enemy is trying to do exactly what the Bible says in John 10:10, steal, kill, and destroy. And how many conflicts arise within the church? Now, I'm not talking about, well, local churches too, but the church. How many realize what the church is? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ecclesia. How many of you realize that a lot of people are destroyed because people get different ideas and different visions about the Word of God and begin to teach erroneous doctrine, which causes conflict, which causes people to be killed and destroyed? Don't get quiet on me now. You know, conflict causes problems. Just a little funny story. You know, a man and his wife, they got in a discussion. And then finally, they yelled at one another, "Get out of my sight. I don't want to see you anymore," he yelled. And she yelled back, "Don't worry about it. You won't." 3 days later, he could see her a little bit out of his right eye. Conflict disables people from seeing the possibilities that vision brings. Vision enables people to see the possibilities that exist with God. A vision of what to do and where to go is like a map. What does a map tell you? A map gives you a vision of where to go. Right? That's what vision is, like a road map. And it gives us where to go with God to accomplish. You know, it is so funny. And I guess I've been seeing all this on Facebook. All of these people telling you all the reasons why people are leaving church and all of that. Isn't it funny? If you check up on all those people that are writing that, there's none of them that have ever pastored a church. None of them's ever been in charge of an organization. Hello, don't look at me like that. Don't get quiet. It's the truth. Everybody knows how to run the church except the minister or the pastor that's running the church. And if he's in tune with God, he'll have vision and will lead people in the right direction. It's funny that people write on there and tell pastors how they should do things. Now, I'm not saying that we can't get some ideas and so, but I'm talking about people that's telling you. And have you ever noticed all they ever give you is the reasons why, and they never give you the solution? If you can't give somebody the solution, keep your mouth shut. Come on now. It is so fascinating that everybody thinks that a church ought to do this, you know, different thing. Ought to have a Christian school, ought to have a feeding ministry, ought to have a home to support troubled youth, a home to help those girls that are in trouble. And, you know, they come up with all kinds of ideas that the church is supposed to do. Church is supposed to pay my rent, supposed to pay my electric bill. Don't laugh about it. Bill gets them all the time. He has to deal with people. You know what the real church is supposed to do? The real church is supposed to do the vision of that local body. What is their vision? Not everybody has the same vision. For years, they tried to put pressure on me to have, you know, a school for the kids. I said, that's not what we were told to do. Now we have our stopgap We Care Center because God told me to do it. Back in the 80s, whenever the oil crashed here, we had people in our own church. In fact, we started it for people in our own church, is what the Lord told me. You know, and then we expanded it. But that's what, people have tried to get me to do this and do that. I said, this is what our vision is. This is what we will do. Well, you know, people all the time, they'll say, well, so-and-so does this, and so-and-so directs their service like this. And I say, I don't care what they do.
We're who we are. And our vision, the real church has a vision. And it follows its vision, and it don't run off over here trying to be like this one over here or like this one over here. God doesn't need clone churches. He needs churches that are real churches with a real vision for what God has called them to do. And then they go out and accomplish that. And if each one will accomplish what God has given them to do, the whole thing will work together. You know, I get amused sometimes. Advertisements will say, come to our Bible school, we're just like Rhema. Well, wait a minute. If God called you to have a Bible school, then you need to do it the way God called you to do it, not the way God called us to do Rhema. You know, I was somewhere and somebody was talking, they were talking about, some preachers talking. And they said, well, they don't do that in Tulsa anymore. I said, what difference does it make if we do it in Tulsa or not? I said, what is God talking to you about? See, we all need this individually, you can take what I'm talking about and put it to your individual lives, but I'm talking about our church. The real church has vision. Come on. When you have vision, there's guidance. When you have vision and begin to follow that vision, there becomes revelation of how to accomplish it. Hello. As I close this, as you notice, each one of these sessions, I talked about the real church and what it's about, and then I would close it about who we are. How many of you noticed that in this series? How many of you have been here and you for all the series? If you hadn't, you need to get them and listen to them. I mean, not because I'm that good at speaking, but because it's really good material. How many of you would agree with that? So if you haven't heard the others, they'll be available back there. Get a hold of them. Hey, let me share with you about the vision of Rhema Bible Church. Our motto. What's our motto? Living life unlimited. That's the vision that God gave us, to live life unlimited with the power and the word and the demonstration of God. Life unlimited. With God, there are no limits. What are you talking about? The Bible says all things are possible to him that believes. That's life unlimited, people. What is the vision of Rhema Bible Church? Teaching people how to have faith in God. Providing excellent children and youth ministries. Providing powerful worship experience. Was that not available this morning? Is that not available every time we come to this church? I said it. Lynette will tell you I said it. There may be some others here that remember me saying that when we first started Rhema Bible Church, that there's three things that we're going to have. That's a good children's and youth program and a good music program. That's part of the vision that God gave. What else is our vision? Ministering the power of God to people in the church and outside of the church. There's a sign back there that says the worship is over, the service is just beginning when you walk out those doors.
See, we come here together, we worship together as the church, we go outside of these doors to minister individually as the church. Our vision is getting the sick healed. How many of you have been healed in this building through prayer? Laying on of hands of the ministry, but also laying on of hands of you sitting in the pew. Restoring those that have fallen. The We Care Center that ministers to the natural needs with food. What else is our vision? Making a difference in this community. We do it with Rockets Over Rhema, our Harvest Carnival, our Christmas lights, sending people all over the world to minister the gospel. How many of you have been here when we have prayed for different ones and sent them out? They're all over the world, people. Today, they're all over the world ministering the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have our own ideas. We have the vision that God has revealed for Rhema Bible Church. And I invite all of you that haven't already, I invite you to get hooked up with us and with this vision. Hello? You know, we have, from this church, we have all kinds of different ministers that travel out of this church. You don't know a whole lot about them. That travel out of this church doing their own ministry, but they're hooked up with the vision of Rhema. I see Victor back there. You see him up there playing a saxophone. Well, he has his business, but he also has a ministry where he goes out and ministers. But he has the vision of Rhema Bible Church. In fact, he carries Rhema Bible Church vision over in what he does in his ministry. People do. That's what we do. That's who we are. We are Rhema. We don't need to be like somebody else. We have our vision. We're doing what we can do all over the world. Thank God for everybody else. But this is the Rhema vision. Rhema Bible Church is the base. Remember last week I told you about Brother Halverson that used to pray before the church ever existed. Nobody understood what he was. The base, Rhema, 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 the base. And then he'd go speaking into Rhema, Rhema, the base. I don't know, is anybody here that was ever there when he was praying that? Yeah, there's Cheryl, I remember, though, was there. She was, Cheryl Piper, was dad's secretary for many years. The base. Nobody understood what he was talking about. And then in 85, when Rhema Bible Church started, we began to see this became the base for this entire Rhema ministry. That's who we are, people. That's our vision. We'll touch people's lives with the power of God. We'll see the sick healed. We'll do all we've been doing and in greater, encompassed within the vision. You see, it's not big I's and little U's. It's not the pastor. It's not my church. It's our church. We are Rhema. We have a vision to accomplish what God has called us to do. Somebody said, well, what's your vision statement? I just gave it to you. Did you get it? See, I thank God for everybody else. But don't come and let's don't try. We're not trying to be somebody else. We're trying to be what God has told us to do with our vision. And we're going to be accomplishing. How many of you are ready to get in the same mind and speak the same thing and experience the vision of Rhema Bible Church and move ahead with God so that we can see the possibilities become realities in people's lives? Let's take the vision and run with it. We could go back to the scriptures I read. It says, where there's no vision, the people perish. We could change it in and say that where there is vision, the people are saved. Where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Where there is vision, the people hold themselves accountable to the vision. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. When people accept the vision, they run in line with God's word. Without vision from God, law and order disappear. With vision, law and order is restored. Paul said everything should be done in decency and in order, and it will be when there's vision. Where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Where there is vision presented, people restrain themselves from doing that which is not good for them to do. Are you ready to be the real church? I've talked to you for 3 different Sundays about the real church. Are we ready to be the real church? Are we ready to demonstrate the power of God? Are we ready to have vision? It just won't happen, but it will happen if we all get on the same page and begin to say, this is who we are. We're Rhema. This is our vision. This is what we do. Thank God for what you do. But we don't want to be like you, and you don't want to be like us. We all want to be like the vision that God has spoken to each local body to be. And when we are, we will accomplish what God has called us to do. As you walk along with the vision that God has given you, you will see that the time will come when the power of God will be in great demonstration, and you will run and you will shout and you will enjoy life and you'll have and not do without, because you followed the vision that I have given, and there will be much joy and much excitement, and there will be rejoicing like you've never heard before. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, for a few moments, I've talked to these people about the vision. Vision, what it is, and the vision of Rhema. I pray, Father, that we will all grab a hold of it and run with the vision. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Has anybody gotten anything out of this series? Have you gotten a hold of what I'm trying to talk to you about? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you know, one of our visions is to see people born again. So bow your heads, please. If there's anybody here that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if there's anyone here that knows that you need to rededicate your life to God, you know what it is to serve God, but you know you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You need to rededicate. If there may be people here that go to church but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand now. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Anybody in this building, anywhere, anybody, upstairs, downstairs, let me see your hand. Anybody? Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you. Ushers, you can be seated. Everybody. Nobody looking around. We have many, many people in this building that are hooked up with the Rhema Vision. But if there are those that you really haven't understood where we are and what our vision is, and now you do and you say, I want to go on record as hooking up with it. Let me see your hand all over the room. Anybody, anywhere. How many of you say, Pastor, I'm with you all the way. We're going to be the real church. Let me see your hands, all of you. Father, I thank you for all of these that are with us and that are joining hands with us to be the real church. Do what you've called us to do. Be what you've called us to be. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Anybody in this room today, you need healing in your body, stand up right now. Wherever you're at, just stand up. You want healing in your body, stand up. Wherever you're at, stand up. Now remember, I said that we demonstrated the power of God. The Word of God says that the minister don't, it says believers can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you're a believer and people are standing around you, I want you to look around, find them, go to them, and begin to demonstrate the power of God. There's a bunch back there. Go back there in the back. There's a whole bunch. Find people. Let's be what our vision statement says we are. A help, a ministry. Begin to minister to them. Minister healing. Minister the power of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What have you got to say? What do you got to say? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, right now, as we're demonstrating what the real church is, that ministers to one another, that is concerned about each other. I thank you, Father. Right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you. Healing power flows. Glory to God. I thank you that it's done now. In Jesus' name. Everybody raise your hands and thank God that it's done. Thank God it is done. It is done. Hallelujah. Now, we're all on the same page, right? We all got the Rhema vision. We're all going to be the real church. All right, I want you to join hands across the aisle, around the aisle. I want everybody touching, make it where everybody's grabbing somebody. Hallelujah. All right, Rich, let's sing.
We're one in the family, one in the Lord, bound by His Spirit, we're washed in His blood, and together there is nothing. We're one in the family, one in, sing it one more time. Yes, we're one in the family, one in the Lord, bound by His Spirit, we're washed in His blood. There is nothing
Give them a hug. Say, I love you in the name of the Lord. And we're going to accomplish what God has asked us to do. We are Rhema. Hallelujah. Say it with me. We are Rhema. We're going to be a real church with the power of God in demonstration. We will run with the vision. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I trust you enjoyed this series. I trust you understand what I was trying to accomplish.